They kumlan about Gemara. We are in the Pei Beis Amud Aleph, two lines from the top. We brought a machlekes Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yechanan. What Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, Amosai, when is this said? Is he defining the words of the rabbis or is he actually arguing with them? So Gufa, let's analyze what we discussed yesterday. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says two lines from the top of the page. Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Kol Makom. Anyway, Amar Rabbi Yehuda said. The word Amosai, when is this said? Uvameh, what are we talking about? The Mishnah Seinu, in a Mishnah, Eina Ela Lefarish Divrei Chachamim. He's only coming to explain the words of the Chachamim, he's not coming to argue. Rabbi Yechanan says, Amosai, I agree with you. If you use the word Amosai, when is this said? Then you're right. Lefarish. But he says, Uvameh, and what? In what? We'll be talking about Lechalik, is coming to argue. Says the Gemara, I have a question on both of you. You're telling me that the word Ve'emesai Lefadosh is coming to explain. Let me ask you a question. But Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, in Masechta Sanhedrin, when it talks about the qualifications for being a judge and the qualifications for being a witness, and it says the following up are disqualified from being a witness. And he says, well, Tanan, we learned anyone who cannot be trusted with money, cannot serve as a witness, because how do you know we weren't paid off, and so on. Ve'eluhein, so not only those who are considered a ganef from the Torah, but even those who are considered a ganef only rabbinically, also cannot be trusted. Ve'eluhein, absolutely, in the following apostle, says the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, ha'mesachei b'kuvia, somebody who plays cards or dice, that was a gambler. If somebody lends money on interest, which is obviously forbidden in the Torah, which shows when it comes to money, he has no rules, no principles. Those who have games that, you know, if you're pigeon, you know, these cock races, or they have, you know, races with pigeons or doves and so on. Don't know why Malava Beribis or Malava Beribis is stuck between Mesach Bekuvi Mafriche Yainim, because you would think that they're very similar to each other, you know, playing dice or having these races. Basically, both are gamblers. The Seichre Shvis, those people who, the crop of Shemitah, which you're permitted to eat, only La Ochla to eat, and they actually do business with it, which is forbidden. So again, the idea is that money for these people are more important than any principles they have. That's a Tanakhama. Amar Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, Amosai, when is this said? Bizman She'en Le'umnes. When do we say that gamblers? That now, the idea of a gambler is, why is a gambler considered a ganef? Because we have a principle called asmachta. Asmachta means, I did not think that I would lose. I did not think, like a guy makes a condition that if I don't work on this and this property, then I'm going to do this and this. But I intended to work on it. So that was only an asmachta. And I never intended to actually forfeit the money or fork out the money. So all gamblers are the same thing. If you hold that a smachta is not koina, even though I'm playing here and I'm putting money in the middle of the table, I want to win. That's why else am I playing? Because I'm hoping to win. Therefore, if I lose, I'm very upset. And you, whoever receives the money, beneficiary, is like a ganef. That's what's wrong with a gambling. That's if you hold a smachta is not koina. And maybe that's why, right now, the Gemara thinks that's the opinion of the Chachamim. Smachta is not koina. Comes along, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Asmachta is koina, so therefore the gamblers are not ganovim. So what's the problem with being a gambler? She says it depends. Bizman she'ein lo umnes alehi. If this is his profession, that he's a professional poker player or professional gambler, then he is no good. Avul yesh le umnes, but if he has another profession, so he works hard for his money, he values money, then harei he's kosher, because I don't consider him ganavim. Now, what's the problem then if this is his profession? He's a professional gambler. If he's not a ganav, what's wrong with that? So Rashi says a fascinating thing. He says it's easy money. And because it's easy money, you don't understand or appreciate people who work very hard to earn a dollar. And therefore, they don't have pity on other people if they see the other person lost $10 when this guy can make $10 in a second. So therefore, there's no compassion. There's no empathy, and that person cannot be as a witness. That means, according to Rashi, even a witness has to be a mensch, and so on. Says the Gemara. So what do we see from here? no problem yet. The problem is the Braisa. So what do the Chachamim actually hold? So the question is Rabbi Yehuda coming to explain the Chachamim? That's what the Chachamim meant when they said a gambler is not good witness, or the Chachamim and him are arguing? Chachamim hold that a smacht is not koina, and you can never have a gambler. In the Braisa, it sort of reveals a bit more. It says that the Chachamim say, Bein she'ein la'umnus, whether he has no other profession, Elihi, just a gambler. Or Bein she'yesh la'umnus, or whether he does have another profession besides gambling. Shalaihi, other profession. Hareiz apostle, this person disqualified from being a witness. What does that tell us? The Chachamim argue with Rabbi Yehuda. They hold that the problem is he's a ganaf, because a smachta lekanya. Says Gemara, you're mixing up. The rabbis in the Mishnah and the rabbis in the Brais are two different people. The rabbis in the Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda agree. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to explain the rabbis that gambling is not a ganaf, but if this is what you mainly do, then you don't have any sympathy for anybody else. And the Rabban and the Brais are the ones who hold that gambling is a ganav, a gambler is a ganav, because a smachta lekanya. And who is the author of that Chachamim? Gemara says, Hahi, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Tarfon. This is a different Tana altogether, it's Rabbi Tarfon. The Chachamim and the Brais is actually Rabbi Tarfon. And Hari Rabbi Tarfon holds that a smacht is not koine. The Tanya we learned. What happens is, a guy is, two people are sitting together, and they see somebody walking down the street. And I guess the guy had long hair. So one of the two people sitting there says, you know, I will be a nazir if that guy is a nazir. Another guy says, I will be a nazir if the guy is not a nazir. Rabbi Tarfon says, it doesn't matter what it turns out, neither of them are nazir. Why? Because since each one thought that the guy, that he was right, and therefore it's only an asmachta, and asmachta is not koine. Because he didn't really think 100%. No, when that person said, oh, if that guy's a nazir, I'll be a nazir, he really meant to say is, I believe the guy is not a nazir. And the other person said, I'll be a nazir if the guy isn't a nazir, he really meant to say is that the guy, you know, is a nazir, and I don't intend to become a nazir. So this is an asmachta. And a smachta is not koine. Neither is nazir, she'ein is a laflo. The zidus is only if you know 100% that this is what you want to be. Not where it's a doubt. Almos, what do we see from here? Kiven the mesapkele nozir lo nozir. We're not sure if it's a nozir or nozir. Le mishab benafshe. He didn't really mean it. So hachanam here too. Kiven le yodi koni le koni goro makos. Same thing with a gambler. He doesn't. If he thinks that he's going to lose, then why is he gambling? Why would anybody go there and gamble? Obviously, he thinks he'll win. So therefore, it's a smachta, it's not koine, and the beneficiary of that money is a ganef. And that's why gamblers cannot be witnesses. That's a chachamim. But the chacham in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, agree that a gambler is not a ganef. The only problem is, if that's his main profession, then he doesn't appreciate what it means to earn a dollar, what money is, and he then is very condescending on everybody else. Next Mishnah. Keitzad mishtatrim bitchumin, just like we had before. How do we do an Erev Chatzeris? You know, we have them, by Erev Chatzeris we use bread, and for Erev, and for Shitufim Avoyis, we use wine and other things, and you have a barrel, people put the things in there. And then everyone contributes from that, or one person has in mind everybody. So it's similar by Tchumin. Keitzad mishtatrim bitchumin. If a number of people want to join together, you know, might want to leave town to go for a cause, so a wedding somewhere, or a rav is coming to the city. So one person wants to, you know, be generous and have in mind a whole bunch of people. So how much does he have to put aside? Meniach is a chav, he puts on a barrel. It says, "Hareze l'chol b'na'idi, everything inside this barrel, I'm having in mind everybody in the city who wants to use it. L'chol mishiyedach l'beis o'evil, anybody wants to go to the house and mourner. You're not allowed to be menachem oval on Shabbos, but you can go say hello. Yeah, to a party. So it depends. If anybody in the city, before the way we're learning right now, Pshat, before Shabbos said, yep, I want to make use of it, and I'm prepared to go an extra 2,000 amos to the west, fine. Then this tchum works for them. Mishat Techshah, once at Shabbos, then he says, you know, I want to go there too late. Asr. She'ei ma'avim Mishat Techshah, because we learned before already, when do you make the tchum Shabbos? Only between twilight, between Shkia, sunset, and the stars come out. Here, later at night, he decided he wants to make use of it, too late. First thing Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Eim Arvid Rav Mitzvah. From here you learn out that when do we make an Erev Tchumen? Only if the purpose is for a mitzvah, not for your own personal benefit. We don't do Tchum Shabbos extended unless you want to do a positive thing, including going to a shir. But we also learned before, if you're going to speak to the governor on behalf of the city, that's also called a mitzvah, helping your fellow Jews.
Maika Mashmalan Lechayda. What's the basic coming to inform us? It says clearly Mishnah. Tanina, it says in the Mishnah. What are the examples the Mishnah gives? Lechomi Sheyel Lebeis Avi. You want to go to a house of mourning, which sounds like it's a mitzvah to go to a house of mourning. Or Lebeis Mishnah. Or you want to join in a wedding ceremony. No, says Gemara. I would have thought the Mishnah is just giving you examples that generally this is the cause why people go, you know, walk extra the extra mile on Shabbos, but not that this is, you know, this is the criteria. No, this is the criteria. It has to be mitzvah. Says the Gemara, you're telling me that it only is valid if you accepted it before Shabbos. But we already discussed in the Yud Zayin and many places in the Shas the concept of Breira. Breira means at the time we don't know yet, but later on, if you make a decision, we say it's retrospective. So therefore, why can't on Shabbos say, you know, I'm going to go there, and if it will be retrospective, it will take effect from before Shabbos. Why do you tell me that if I made a decision Friday night, it's too late? That means you're holding Ein Breira. It cannot be retrospective. And the reason why we have a problem with that is because in the Halacha we say when it comes to the Rabbanans, Yesh Breira. And the whole concept of Erevin is Chumen, is only Midrabbanan. From here, clearly it seems ain't breda because it's not effective if once the Shabbos comes in. If you tell me that you can make it retrospective, that Tigali Milsul Mafreya, why can't he make a decision Friday night and let it reflect? That really, he never thought about it, but he would have been as if he made up his mind on Friday afternoon. Omar Rashi said, you're right. Of course he could make up his mind Friday night, but we're saying here, not that he question of when he made up his mind, the question is when he became aware of it. Haydi uhu, v'loy haydi uktani. If he became aware of it Friday afternoon, even though he didn't make a decision until Friday night, we'll introduce the concept of retrospectivity and we'll say yes, breira. But if he wasn't aware of it on Friday, he only found out, oh, you know, this guy made put food out there for anybody who wants to use it for the Erev Chumen, and he only heard about it in Shul by Meirev after Shabbos came in, then it is too late. Because even if he's a Yesh Breira, he couldn't have made a decision before he knew about that it existed, the option. And therefore, that's what he means in the Mishnah here. Omer Rav Masi, Cotton Ben Sheish, a six-year-old kid, Yoitze Be'edev Ima. You want to go for a walk, you don't have to take the kid, you don't have to make a separate Edev for the kid, since the kid is still attached to the mother, whatever suits the mother suits the kid as well. Suits the kid as well. Mesa asks a question. Tesh already asked, even though we said before that only for mitzvahs do we make an Edom. This is a six-year-old kid. What mitzvahs does he have? So Tesh says, there's a mitzvah of chinuch, to educate a child. And if you're going for a positive, for a mitzvah, then the child also has the mitzvah of chinuch to be involved. Interesting, that's Tesh's second answer. And the first answer Tesh is, since the child cannot remain without the mother, because attached to the mother, therefore we make a special dispensation, he can go along. As if the taste, the answer of mitzvah to mechanech is not good enough, because you have a general rule, the first answer of taste is always the most important, is always the more acceptable one, the second one is, you know, it's not as acceptable. And the idea that a six-year-old child, the mitzvah of chinuch, to go to a wedding, taste is sort of, puts it in the second place, because maybe, you know, this is not the kind of chinuch that we're talking about, you know, as a mitzvah to teach him chinuch of other mitzvahs, rather than just going to join in a wedding or of a nicham aveilim. Anyway, the Gemara says further, Meisha asks a question, Kotten Shalima, it's an Edom, my child who needs, the mother can satisfy the Edom with his mother, Edom doesn't have to make his own, Ush ain't Shalima, but if the child's old enough, no longer needs his mother, and Yaitse be Edom, does not. It has to have their own Edev, cannot use the mother's Edev. So what's the problem? Now, Asi said a six-year-old, so what's the problem? Because the language that we just have over here in this Braisa is very similar to the language we find in another law, in Sukkah. The Tilanamik of Sukkah says in the Mishnah by Sukkah, Gai Gavin is similar. Cotton Shainter Lima, if a child old enough, does no longer needs to hang on the mother's coattails, Chai B'Sukkah has a mitzvah of Chinuch to sit in the Sukkah. And there, the Gemara Sukkah, we say, "Vavinim." But there, the Gemara Sukkah discusses, so what age are we talking about? So we said over there, "The age of cotton she ain't tzarich lima." What age is it that if we say a child's mature, no longer needs a mother? Is the Vei Rabbi Yana, that the school of Rabbi Yana says, "Kol shenifna." If the child goes to the bathroom, the ain ima bekachos, doesn't need his mother to wipe him, can take care of himself. That means he's old, he's mature. And Abshimah ben Lakish, says, Kol Shenayer, when he wakes up in the morning, Ve'einu Koyde Imim, the first words that escape from the mouth is not Mami Mami. Says the Gemara, Salkadatok Doli Nami Karu. Well, it doesn't happen that a child is more mature, doesn't call for his mother, he needs his clothes or whatever it is. Elaimo, what Rish Lakish meant to say is, Kol Shenayim Mishnasi Ve'enu Koyde Ima Ima. A kid who wakes up and doesn't continuously yell mommy and won't be quiet until the mother actually comes over. That's immature. But if the child says mother once or twice and then just hangs around and waits, that's mature. But what's the problem? The Ekama, and what age are we talking about? Kibat Arba, Kibat Chamesh. So the Shlokish and Rabbi Yane hold a 4-year-old child, a 5-year-old child is immature. And Rav Asi says 6-year-old. So our question is, it says in the Mishnah, a mature child, and it seems from there that it's a 4 or 5-year-old, not a 6-year-old. Omer Rabbi Shubh Revidi. Rabbi Shubh Revidi says, I'll tell you what we're going on. You're right. A 5-year-old is mature, and a 5-year-old needs their own edev as well. So according to Rabbi Yeshua Revidi, everyone agrees that a 5-year-old is mature enough that if he wants to walk with his mother, he needs his own edev. But Kika Amar Abasi, so why Abasi say 6-year-old? It's talking about Kigoyin She'idav Olav Litzafen. That the father made an edev for the child. We're talking about a case where you actually made the edev on behalf of the child. We're not talking anymore about a case where the mother made an edev for herself and the child comes along. No, 6 years old is too late. We're talking about you made an edev for the child, but there's a contest here between the father and the mother. The father wanted the child to go to the east with him. The mother wanted the child to go to the west with her. And Abasi says that if the child is young, definitely the child would rather go with the mother. The father made an edev in the north. And the mother made an edev in the south. Even though the child is 6 years old, a young child definitely would prefer to be with his mother than with his father. So, according to Rabbi Shua Bre Davidi, everyone holds that a 4 or 5-year-old is considered mature. You have to make your own edev. And we're talking, Rabbi Asi is talking about a case where you made an edev for the child. Question is, whose edev trumps the other edev, the father's or the mother's? It says, you want to make a question for Bryce and everybody. It says, cotton should tzarech lima if a child is immature and needs the mother, yaitse be'edev ima, you can be yaitse with the edev the mother made for herself. Ad ben sheish, until 6 years old, which means not 4, not 5, but also not 6, till 6. To you, to first of all, question of Yeshua Baridi. Yeshua Baridi says that everyone agrees that it's a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old too mature already. And here it says clearly, till 6, which means 5 years old, you still can rely on the mother's edev. To you, you're right. It repudiates, they didn't know this Brisa, it rejects what he said, prejudges what he says. Lema to have it to Yufta the Ravasi. So why can't this also be a question of Asi? He said a 6-year-old, and here it says, all 5 years, you can rely on the mother. It sounds like, but a 6-year-old, too late, can't. On the Ravasi, ad ba'ad b'chla. When it says over here, till 6, and the Braisa meant until the end of 6. In other words, I'm right. Fair enough. Lema to have it to Yufta the Rabbianish. Look, as they say, when you're 4 years old, when you're 5 years old, you have to have your own native. Here it says clearly, until 6, you can rely on your mother's native. Like Kasha, not a problem. Here is talking about that the father is in the city. And here is talking about that the father is not in the city. What I mean, that if the father is in the city, then the child no longer so dependent on his mother. And once a child is 4 years old and above, the Shlokish I'm talking about, once a child is 4 years old and above, is mature, and it doesn't really have to depend totally solely on the mother. The Brisa that says until 6 is talking about when the father is not in town. Then the child is completely relying on a mother until 6 years old. Says about it further, the Torah will be learned that a person can make an edev on behalf of the youngest children, and they can also make an edev on behalf of their servant and their maid, the non-Jewish ones, whether they are acknowledged, they accept, or whether they don't accept, he's in total control of them. I will aim him out of. He cannot make an edim on behalf of the Yiddish because they're independent. His adult children, he cannot make an edim on their behalf without their consent. Nor can he make an edim on behalf of his wife without her consent. He needs a consent. So it sounds from here that he can't just do it stam. He needs their consent before he can make an edim on their behalf. Yet Tanya either with another b'raisa. A person should not make an edev on behalf. Al yideh usually means through them, but over here it means on behalf. Even on behalf of the eved shivch, on behalf of his wife, only if they accept. But he could make an edev on behalf of the the non-Jewish servants, but even maybe the ktanim or the young children, bein ledaiton, bein shelo daiton, whether they accept or they don't accept, b'nei sheyodah ki yodah, because he's in total control over them. Then he says it, v'kulam she'irvu, if they made their own native, all of them, they made their own native, v'irv alein rabon, and then the master or owner or father or whatever it is, made their own native, made his own, Yaitzim Sharaban, their Eidiv gets cancelled and they have to follow the master. Chutzman Isha. Except a woman, if she made her own Eidiv and the husband made his own Eidiv, then obviously she follows her own. Then she chay limchais, because she can protest. Why are you highlighting an Isha? Everybody, your adult children as well. You made an Eidiv for them thinking you'd be nice. They want to go somewhere else. Of course, you cannot force them to go where you want to go. Amar Rabbi Isha b'chol d'damelah. We don't mean strictly an Isha, we mean an Isha and your adult children. Anybody who's independent. Amamai said, she can protest. Sounds like only because she can protest. But if she doesn't protest, then if he makes an aid of thinking this is what we should do Shabbos, she goes along with it. She goes along with it. But in the Ketoreish, in the beginning, it says that he needs da'atan, he needs their consent. That means if he doesn't ask them, the aid of is worthless. Sounds like only if they give their consent. In other words, if you don't in the sefer, it seems to be the only time it doesn't work for them is if it protest. And the reish, it seems that it doesn't work unless they give their consent. Which one is it? Loi, my ela medaitum. What do you mean medaitum? Not that you need their consent. The shtikl. They don't protest. If they don't protest, then the eidiv that he makes has them in mind and it works for them as well. It's only if they protest, then it doesn't. But if let's say they don't protest, but they don't acknowledge, then they're bound by that eidiv. They said no. Says the Gemara, but hakulon she'irvu v'ivra le'ram. It says clearly that they made an eidiv, and the father, whatever, is made a separate eidiv. Yoytze m'sherabim. They are yoytze with whatever the father made. V'stamhu, doesn't say that they protested. It doesn't say at all they protested. Uktani chutz ben isha, and seems that, and yet it says by an isha, it sounds like by an isha that the loynafke, the only one that doesn't work by isha, but everyone else, even if they have to follow along, stam says the gemara. Talking about a case where they made a separate aid. Is there a greater protest than that? No, that itself is a protest. Okay, next mishnah. Kama Yishude, how much do we... We learned already before that you have to have, you know, each person has to contribute a gregus when it comes to Erev Chatzeres, the size of a dried fig. And then we said the maximum is 18 dried figs, which is two meals. And that's the maximum you have to give, at the start at least. What about when it comes to Erev Chumen? Erev Chumen is you're making a new house somewhere else outside of your normal house. So you have to have over there two meals Friday night and Shabbos morning, like a house. Is it kama hu shiyurei mazon shtei sudis l'chalech vechod? You have to have two meals for every person. You can't have two meals and have in mind 10 people. Every person has to have their own two meals because that's where they are going to reside. L'chalech vechod mezoinoi l'choyle l'shabbos. What kind of meals? Divrei Meir has weekday meals, not Shabbos meals. And Rabbi Huda emailed l'shabbos l'chol. Shabbos meals are not weekday meals. They both want to be lenient. Interesting argument here. The way Rashi learns, Rav Meir holds that on Shabbos we eat a lot more than we eat during the week. Because on Shabbos we have an Hashem Yaseida, or the food is delicious, and therefore we eat a lot more. And so Rav Meir says, you know what kind of two meals you need? Weekday meals. Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that actually on Shabbos we eat less than during the week. What do you mean on Shabbos you eat less during the week? Because on Shabbos you have to eat a third meal. So therefore, it says you should monitor what you eat in the Shabbos by day meals, so you still have an appetite to eat Shalosh Shudas, which is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, he holds that you generally eat less. That's how Rashi learns. That's why he opted for the Shabbos meal, whichever is less. Other Rishonim learn a very interesting argument. They say, we're not talking about the meal itself, we're talking about the challah that you eat with the meal. And according to Rav Meir, you eat more challah on Shabbos than you eat bread during the week. Just that's how it is. And therefore he says we're going to choose for the weekday meal. Rabbi Yehuda says no, because there's so much food, Shabbos on the table, so many different dishes, that you end up eating less bread or less challah Shabbos than you would eat during the week. Interesting argument. Who was right? But anyway, then the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yechon and Baruch HaKim. Now, you have to follow what's going on over here. You find many times in many dinim, we say you have to eat a kazayis of matzah in how much time? The time it takes to eat pras. Pras means a portion, a half a loaf of bread. The time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread is how much time you have to eat a kazayis, so we consider that one meal. And we have a big argument between Rashi and the Rambam whether that's talking about a six-egg loaf of bread, so a half is 3 eggs, that's how much food it is, or is it an 8-egg loaf of bread and half of that is 4 eggs. And all that revolves around the argument we have in our Mishnah here between Rabbi Yechon ben Broika and Rabbi Shimon. And it works as follows. Rabbi Yechon ben Broika says, so, you said you have to have two meals. We're going to measure mekiker from a loaf of bread, the pundian, for the price of one pundian, which is a certain coin, midalit soyin beseller, the time when flour, 4 soyin of flour, is sold for 1 seller. So then, a loaf of bread is the equivalent of a pundian. Now, what are we talking about here? In 4 saw, every saw has 6 kav. These are measures. So 4 saw has 24 kav. Now, a seller has 48 pundian, which means that every loaf of bread is equal to 2 pundian. And you're telling me a kicker of equal of 1 pundian basically is a half a loaf of bread. And you're telling me that a half a loaf of bread is equivalent of 2 meals. Now, a kav is 24 eggs. So if you're telling me that a half a loaf of bread is, so you're telling me that it's a half a kav, which means it's 4 eggs, right? A half a kav is 4 eggs. A loaf of bread is, so half a kav is 4 eggs. And we're telling me here is that you're eating the bread for 2 meals of a half a kav, because 1 pundian is the equivalent of a half a kav, and if 1 pundian is equivalent to half a kav, that's what that equals 2 loaves of bread, and so each meal is 1 loaf of bread. Okay, so that's the opinion of Rechon Brucker. Comes along Rab Shimon, he says shtei yodais, 2/3 lekikat to a loaf of bread mishalosh lekav. Imagine that a loaf of bread is 3 loaves of bread make up 1 kav. Not 2 loaves of bread make up 1 kav, but 3 loaves of bread make up 1 kav. And then 2/3, when it comes to Avon, I'm going to be lenient, is going to be 2/3 of that 1 loaf of bread. And that's 2 meals, which means that each meal is 1/3 of a loaf of bread, and that 3 loaves in a kav, which means each meal is 1/9. So according to Rab Shimon, each meal is 1/9 of a kav. And and according to Rabbi Yechon ben Broika, that each meal is a half of a loaf of bread. 1 loaf of bread is a half of a kav, and 1 loaf of bread is 2 meals, so half of a loaf, which really is 1/4 of a kav. Come that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's 1/9 of a kav is a meal, and according to Rabbi Yechon ben Broika, it's 1/4 of a kav. Big difference, and that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Talking about it further, chetz yom and a half of a loaf of bread, lebeis hamenoiga, a half of a brosa bread, a half of a full loaf of bread that you use for an ediv is what they use lebeis hamenoiga. We learned that when you go into a house of leprosy, you become tummy straight away, but the clothes that you're wearing do not become tummy unless you spend some time then eat. How much time do we allow you to spend there before we say that you became tummy? The time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, according to everybody. Because by Erevin, we're going to be more lenient. You know, 2/3 of a bread that Rav Shimon says is only by Erevin. But here, everyone agrees, it's a half a loaf of bread. And, and half of a half a loaf of bread, lifsa lesagvia. We know that if a person eats tamadika food, they don't become tame. Food cannot be metame a person. But when it comes to truma, if you ate tamadika food, you cannot eat from truma. It's only midurabanan. How much of truma do you have to eat? A half of a half of a loaf of bread. That was 1/4 of a loaf of bread is enough to make you tame. Says about it further. What's how much you have to eat for the meal? 2 meals. 2 loaves of bread that the farmers would take with them when they go out in the farms, they go out in the pastures because they don't have time to go back. So they have to take with them 2 meals. A place called Nahar Pipisa, and the Nora Papa, and the two loaves of bread that they used to do there. That's a standard. Rabbi Yosef turned around to his student's son. Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi, Avuch Keman Svidele, your father, who does he side with? So he said, Svidele Krameir, he holds like Krameir. I want this a weekday meal. So he said, Ananami Krameir Svidele. You know, I also agree with Krameir. Dika Rabbi Yehuda Kashya, because if Rabbi Yehuda says that no, that the Shabbos meal is lenient, that Rabbi Yehuda argues that you eat less on Shabbos than during the week, or you eat less bread on Shabbos, you should know, Amid Inch is a famous saying we have in Mor Megillah, that the Ravcha Lebisma Shchiach, that when you can have a full meal and you're full, but when they bring you a beautiful dessert that's tasty, you have plenty of room to eat that dessert as well. So when it comes to really tasty food, you can eat a lot more than normal. So on Shabbos, the food is definitely more tasty than normal, and therefore, you'll eat more on Shabbos than during the week. So we excited with Rameya. Okay, now says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon ben Brukaim, Tani v'lev nebraisa, ukrevim divreyem liyeh shavin. The words of Rabbi Yechon ben Brukaim, the measure, and the measure of Shimon is almost the same. Now we just figure, calculate, Rabbi Shimon holds it's a ninth of a kav, and according to Rabbi Yechon, it's actually a quarter of a kav, very far from each other. What's going on here? Simra says, "Midami, how can you pay?" Rabbi Yechonon arba sudas lekava. Rabbi Yechonon says that a bread is a half of a kav, which means that, and that's two meals. So, which means that two loaves of bread is a full kav, and that's four meals. So, four meals is a full kav. And that Rabbi Shimon holds teishes of the kav. Rabbi Shimon holds that three loaves of bread is a kav, and he holds that two thirds of it is two meals. That means one third of a loaf of bread is a meal. Multiply that by three, so you have nine. You have nine meals in one kav. They're not close at all. Omer Rav Chizda, you forgot to calculate the profits. Tzei mehen, you have to take off shlish lechenveni. That according to Rabbi Yechonon, the chenveni, even though the raw material is the wholesale price is there, but that's not what he charges because he deducts some of his time and labor. Says, you know, even if you take off a third, akati lamar tisha lamar shish, so you add from a quarter becomes six. But and Rav Shimon holds it's a ninth of a kav. Ela ki idr chizda, the omer tzei mehen machz lechenveni. That when you said before, it's a half of a kav, so therefore a quarter of a kav is a loaf of bread, which is a meal, double that, because he takes off for labor and for time and effort, blah, blah, becomes eight. So an eighth of a kav is a meal. Now remember, a kav is 24 eggs. So an eighth of a kav is three eggs. And three eggs is a meal. And so therefore we say chatzi pras is an egg, is a bread of three, kedei achilas pras, eating a half a loaf of bread, is equivalent of three eggs. Vakati lamar teisha lamar tam, still this one holds eight loaves, make up a kav, this one holds nine. Hainoma kreivim divrei shavin, they're similar to each other. Kashya, Rav Chizda, so we have a question from Rav Chizda on Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda says take off half, and Rav Chizda says take off a third. Which one is it? Well, it depends. If the balabas donates wood, then he took away some of the expenses, then he only adds a third. If the balabas did not give wood, did not give firewood, then the person has to spend more, then he charges more. And therefore, that comes out to be the difference. Okay, we'll stop here.